This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Yankees Magazine Podcast. I'm John Schwartz. I'm the deputy editor for Yankees Magazine. Joining me right now on this bright, sunny day in the Bronx, we have our editor-in-chief, Al Sanasiri.
Hey, guys.
What's going on, Al? And over here to my left, our executive editor, Nathan Makaborski.
Hello, everybody.
To update everybody from our last episode, they're still on the TV behind Nate doing work on the field. I can tell you it does look like a baseball diamond now. We have some nice patterns mowed into the grass. No pitching mound. So I knew there were going to be some rule changes in 2023. I didn't realize this was one of them.
But they're going to be pitching from the second base
something,
bag.
Something like that. We will update you as things develop. But all I can say is right now, there is no pitching mound. And I don't know what that's about. But, you know, live and learn. Sorry, Garrett. But So obviously, we are getting closer. Where the NFL playoffs are upon us. We are moving into that time of year when it kind of seems like the hot stove has gotten pretty
chilly,
cool to the touch. You know, you can maybe start washing some of those dishes that you're taking off the stove. And I think we're kind of right now looking at the Yankees roster. So, Nate, Al, we have a couple weeks before spring training. Then certainly things get into real high gear. But I think that this mid-January episode is the right time to do one last thing from the 2022 season that we didn't get to do yet, and that is to go over our preseason predictions. And you can understand, or maybe you'll understand really well about a half hour from now, why we waited so long to go over our preseason predictions. But Alan, I thought the fun way to do this, because Al, you were not on the episode when we made our predictions, so I have here what Nate and I thought. I'm going to put some of these questions to you first and see how you do.
Boy.
After the fact. And then we'll judge you against how we did. So let's just dive right in here. You know, no reason to waste time. First things first. Over under on Yankees wins, we set the number at 91.5. Al, do you think the 2022 Yankees will go over or under 91.5 wins?
Over.
Good news. Do you remember what the number was?
It was 99.
It was 99. Nate, what did you think?
If I recall, now this is going back a ways, I think I said it was going to be over because I liked the moves that they had made in terms of shoring up the defense. I thought that the defense was problematic in 2021. And I thought because of that, that was going to lead to a few extra wins in 2022.
You did go over. And I said over. I said 92. Which was, in fact, over 91.5. But that puts all three of us at over. Al, amazing. Amazing job here.
Yeah, really.
So this one, it gets a little harder here, Al. Right. Like, just bear with us a second. Mm-hmm. Will the Yankees make the playoffs?
Oh, boy.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I think they're going to in 2022.
I love you stepping out there, pointing at the bleachers. Yeah. You are correct, Al. The Yankees did make the playoffs.
All right.
Nate? We were both correct as well. So we have three people here who are 2-0. I can't speak for how Al's going to do on the next eight questions. What I can tell you is this is basically the high watermark for us.
Well, I was just going to say, it's the high watermark or the easy part of the schedule.
This is about to get a little rough.
There's nothing I like less than trying to predict baseball, but let's keep going.
Well, that's good because you were not very good at it.
Yeah. It's like guessing someone's age.
Garrett Cole this year, somehow, like almost below the radar in some senses, just because of everything that was going on with Aaron Judge. But obviously, in that last week of the season, Garrett Cole goes and breaks the New York Yankees single season strikeout record. Pretty awesome feat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for you, Garrett. So here's a question. Garrett Cole, over under strikeouts, 255.5.
I'm sure you guys said under.
And what are you going to say?
Well, I'm going to say over, but, you know.
Over is correct. Yeah. So, do you, Nate, not you, because I think you do know the number. Al, do you know the number?
No,
255 and a half was where we set the mark.
255 and a half.
And he broke the Yankees' all-time strikeout record. So,
which was 248.
So, he had 248 as of his second to last start, which I believe was in Toronto. So, then how many strikeouts did he have in his last game? There in lies the answer. I think he had six.
So much more scientific.
He had six strikeouts that night.
Okay, so that puts him at 255.
Yes.
So you're saying he went under.
I am now going to say he went under.
Okay.
I believe he had six strikeouts that night.
Gerrit Cole went over. He finished the season with 257.
Oh, wow.
So 257 is the number that we need to sear into our brains. That is the new single season Yankees record.
It's funny because I'll never forget how many home runs Aaron Judge hit.
It's a little different, right?
Yeah, Gerrit Cole's strikeout number seems to elude me.
Which I believe might have led the majors as well, right, John?
You are correct. 257 led the majors. Amazingly, I mean, I don't know if you want to say it's amazing, whatever. It is 69 strikeouts behind his 2019 figure, which also led the majors. So you could definitely see strikeouts were down this year.
Yeah, really.
That's a huge difference for the league-leading number. So anyhow, we are, Nate, you and I both said under. Al, congratulations on saying over, I guess, after the fact. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, I remember thinking like 255, that's a really high number, you know, to get over 200 is an achievement. So to get all the way up to 257 is, that's impressive. Very impressive.
And in 2021, for the record, he did 243. So that was kind of where I was looking. I'm pretty sure, and maybe I'm wrong. This was February, I think, when we were doing this, or March, but I don't think I used any actual like sportsbook lines, and I think I made up the numbers myself. 255 and a half seems like a ridiculously high number to have set in that scenario, but he did go over. Anyhow, as we said, league leaders. This one, I'm gonna tell you right now. This one's on the easier side. Aaron Judge plus Giancarlo Stanton home runs over under 68 and a half. Al, what do you think?
We almost didn't need Giancarlo for this one, I guess.
Really?
Crazy. You know, it is crazy. I mean, you know, what I've talked about recently, even in just kind of updating my Aaron Judge story for the yearbook, is how, you know, when you look at what is a really good season for a power hitting outfielder is 35 home runs, 30 home runs. It's really interesting because what Aaron Judge did is essentially double that. And so I assume you guys went with over, assuming that you would have predicted that he and Giancarlo would each have about 30 to 35 home runs. I wouldn't have predicted that one of them would hit 62 home runs. I don't think you can ever predict that. you know, if I was around in 61, I would have predicted that Maris would have hit 61.
Obviously.
I'm anxious to hear what you guys did with that one.
So Nate, what do you think you said?
So what did you put the number at?
The number was 68 and a half.
68 and a half. So 34, 35 each guy. I think I probably, knowing that I'm usually an optimist, I probably would have taken the over, I think. I don't really remember what I said.
You did take the over, so congratulations.
All right.
You are 3-1.
Wow.
Easy win.
We'll see. You took the over with 80. You actually, you went pretty high there. And amazingly, I mean...
And fell well short of the final number.
Yeah, I mean, the final number is 93.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Giancarlo Stanton had 31 homers, which is half as many as Aaron Judge.
Right.
You took 80. I think that was... I think that was an optimistic take. Both of them not only staying very healthy, but being incredibly, incredibly successful all season.
Do you know, what did you guys predict for the combination, the home run combination between Aaron Judge and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa? Was that 63 or 64?
68 and a half also, I believe. Nate, you got that correct. You were over. I was under. And my calculation, if you will, brought me like right to 68. I basically said 38 and 30. That one of them, I saw them both kind of in that mark there, and I was wrong. So
one of the wild things about Aaron Judge's record-breaking season last year is that, you know, I took a look for our September issue at the past, you know, home run chases at Yankee Stadium, Babe Ruth back in 27 and Maris in 61. And in both those instances, Ruth and Maris both had a teammate who was right there neck and neck with them all season long, like pushing them. They basically had a competition among each other. You know, Lou Gehrig was leading Babe Ruth in late August.
That's incredible.
You know, Mantle and Maris were right there well into September. Mm-hmm. Judge just did it all on his own. It was just him out there. And by the end, I mean, it was, we'll never forget it, the scenes of just everybody, teammates, fans, opposing managers and coaches, everybody just, you know, leaning on the edge of their seats in silence, watching to see if he could do it. It really was remarkable.
Yeah, and to kind of piggyback on that point, I think it's worth noting too that, you know, and Aaron Boone, I know, talked about this because I remember using this quote in the story that I did in our October issue about Aaron Judge's remarkable magical season, which again I mentioned, I just updated for our yearbook. But I know, you know, when the manager was talking about how incredible what Aaron Judge had done was, he also remarked, not only was there not a teammate that Aaron Judge had that came close, there was no one in baseball who came close. So, right. You know I've talked a lot about, in my opinion, how I feel about this record because it was free of any type of controversy, unlike you know, kind of like the last era of guys, you know, hitting 60 or more home runs. But it was also completely set aside, you know, from, I think the next closest guy was Kyle Schwarber on the Phillies, who I believe had 46 at the end of the season. And, you know, so I think those two things really just kind of showcase how special what Aaron Judge did was.
And one thing that I would throw in there, too, is Judge had a rough couple weeks to start the season, and the guy who was kind of pacing the Yankees at that time, it wasn't Giancarlo Stanton, it was
Anthony Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo, that's right. Who finished second on the team in home runs. And,
amazing.
You know, you look to the Yankees offseason, and obviously that Judge contract, that was the story. Carlos Rodon, whew, that's important. Keenly, mm-hmm. We need some new bullpen arms, that's pretty great, but, you know, I'm going through right now all of my old Judge stuff from the press conference, working on some things there from when he came back. And he's the guy sitting there, like, basically like throwing his finger on the table saying Anthony Rizzo. And, yeah. You know, to take nothing away from Giancarlo Stanton, 31 home runs is great. And I think that, you know, after an amazing 2021, I think Stan would tell you 2022 is a bit of a bummer for him in some ways. And he dealt with some stuff for sure. But, you know, don't sleep on Rizzo there. That was a huge thing that he was able to do this season for the team, because maybe you guys are right that Judge didn't have one guy chasing him in a sense, but the combination of those two power bats a lot of times in the season at different times, you know, he did have protection and he was able to bat atop the lineup to really, you know, give him some opportunities there, which he wouldn't have gotten on a lighter lineup. Let's just put it that way. So
well said,
but let's move on to another one. This one, you know, I think that Al, that you'll have another easy time with this one, but let's see how you do. DJ LeMahieu starts. We set the number at 140 and a half.
Well, I know if I was present for that meeting, I would have said over, simply because, you know, I know he's had some injuries over time, but, you know, probably a combination of being similar to Nathan in that I'm an optimist and also just thinking that he was going to have a big season. And, you know, you can't have a big season if you don't play at least 140 games. The old adage, you know, the best ability is availability. I'm sure I would have said over 140 and I would have been wrong. So I'm not going to be too critical of you guys when I find out that you guys both said over, because that's what I'm going to think you did.
Is that right? I have no recollection at all.
You don't remember? Do you remember what you had for breakfast that day?
That day?
Yeah.
What about this day?
That'd be impressive.
We did both say over, and I will tell you,
I need to find some better colleagues.
Can I get either of you to guess the actual number?
What we said, how many games he would play?
No, what he actually did start. And I'll tell you the number, to put a lighter spin on this. When I went in there, the number was higher than I expected it to be.
126.
126, and you're saying...
How many games did he start?
Did he start this year?
85.
106. Basically split the difference right. between the two of you. I was guessing it was going to be in
we'll
the
compromise,
right around 100 mark. 126. That was higher.
Wow.
But sure enough, we did both say over. Al, you were surprisingly honest in that one. You should have just said under. So I guess you're now 4-1. Nate, you are 3-2, and I am 2-3. Ouch. Here is, you know, a difficult one. I questioned if we should even include this one, but we're going to, because I think there's an interesting part of this conversation that we can have. Joey Gallo combined strikeouts plus walks to 80.5. Now, I'm not even going to make you bother here, Al. It's under. And the reason it's under is because he didn't play enough. And I'm combining even his time with the Dodgers here. I think that he could have gotten there if he had hit enough to remain in the everyday lineup to be getting 4 to 5 plate appearances a game. Once he couldn't do that, this was just never in play.
Yeah.
So, and I'll still say, like, I'm interested to see the alternate version of Joey Gallo here with things going a little better for him, because I do think he's such a fascinating player. And again, you go back to 2021 to lead the league in both walks and strikeouts. It was fun to watch him. It was fun to kind of try to figure out what was up with some of that stuff, and it didn't work out, and that's always a bummer. And I always say, especially when I mean it, and I do mean it in this case, it's not for a lack of trying from the guy. It's not for a lack of decency from the guy. He's certainly
it's a good guy,
especially at the end there when it was pretty clear it wasn't working. I always will remember him. There were a couple of walk-off wins in that last week, and he was always front and center kind of in those celebrations. Mm-hmm. And you knew he was about to be traded out of town. Everyone knew he knew it, but he could have easily just, you know, pumped his fist, shook some hands, and then walked into the dugout. But he
sometimes was a good dude. It just, you know, things don't, you know, you can't figure some things out sometimes about how to navigate your line of work or whatever, and you have to work a little harder to figure them out. But I know he was very popular, well-liked, and I think that was born out of perseverance, hard work, and being a good teammate. So I too admire him quite a bit.
So Nate, you said over and I said under. The actual numbers, so for the Yankees, it was 146, and overall it was 219. Now again, without playing every day, without getting 5 to 6 plate appearances, you're just not going to do it. So that was pretty obvious. Nate, that puts us both at 3-3. Next one. This one's more interesting. And I wonder, I think you guys will remember this one. Longest winning streak on the year. Bear in mind, we were coming off in 2021, that 13-game win streak. So I set the number here at 9. Al, was the Yankees' longest winning streak in 2022 longer than 9 games or not?
It was not.
It was not. What do you think?
Is that true? I thought we had like a 10 or 11 there in the first half when we were rocking and rolling there.
11 game win streak.
Wow. Yeah. And I think I probably predicted we would not reach 9 because that's, you know, it's fairly difficult to do.
You said no, and I said no. We both said no. The actual was 11. Like I said, I think we both just kind of felt like, man, 13 is so crazy.
Yeah.
That,
and it had just happened. It had just happened. August.
Yeah. So that was that. So we are now both 3-4. So this one actually I find to be pretty interesting. This is fun, I think. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Over under stolen bases, 21.5.
Oh, wow.
Al, what do you think that number actually is?
Under.
Under, okay. What do you think the number is?
17.
17. That's a respectable season. Nate, what do you think he finished with?
I think he got to 20.
Got to 20?
Am I misremembering? No, I'm almost certain he got to 20.
He got to 22.
Oh, was that what it was?
So he just crept over the line to over with 22. That was tops on the team. Do you know who finished second on the team in stolen bases?
Was it Aaron James Judge?
It was with 16.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
But Isaiah Kiner-Falefa did get to 22. That is the top mark of his career, by the way, after he had set a career high the previous year. I think that, I was surprised yesterday when I was doing that. I did not feel like he was on base enough this year for it to be a career high in stolen bases.
But I didn't see that. I'm surprised. I don't know if I wrote his bio, but maybe we'll have to add that in there. Because I know if I did write it, I didn't put that in. I can tell you.
Well, this is one of those things that I was talking to you about this the other day, Al, that I find pretty fascinating, that I want to kind of explore for a feature during the first half, is just the Yankees' abilities on the base paths. I feel like they've really stepped it up in recent years, and you know, it's going to be even more interesting this year with the larger bases. You know, there's, I think, about six fewer inches between each base. So,
and fewer, they got rid of the disengagements also, right? Or they limited the disengagements from the mount, from the rubber.
I believe so.
So that should open up opportunities when you've taken your foot off too many times for the right. runner could just basically get a running start.
Right, right, exactly. So there'll be a lot of aspects to base running as a whole that will, you know, have impacts all across the league that I think is going to be really fascinating to watch this year.
One thing that always fascinates me, I feel like base running is excused in a lot of interesting ways sometimes, excused in the sense of not necessarily being something that we rely on certain players for, not necessarily something we blame certain players for. I will not mention a name here, but there was an extremely popular, well-liked Yankee here in recent years. He's not here anymore, who I think was the worst base runner I've ever seen in my life. And obviously, look, I mean, this is Yankees Magazine. You know, I'm not going to sit here and ask a question in the post-game press conference. I'm not going to write a story about it. But I was always curious when this was going to come up in someone else's stuff about just how bad a base runner this person was. And it was very noticeable to me that it was never once mentioned. So I think, Nate, I love the idea of that story because I think it is something that, you know, obviously the stolen base numbers are something you see. Those are obvious. And you can even now track pretty easily and hear people talk a lot about the first or third and things like that. But, you know, it's always interesting to me to watch the boneheaded decisions in the base paths, not the just getting caught stealing, but just what are you doing? Like, why are you getting caught between first and second here? Things like that, that I feel like you don't always see so much. So, and I think that one thing the Yankees made clear between defense and base running last year, things that for a lot of times had been left behind somewhat in the, you know, analytical revolution in baseball, the Yankees put a premium on them last year. And I think that was a big part of their success.
To your point, there's a big, to your first point, actually, there's a big distinction between being fast and being a good base runner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a track meet. You're not running from one point, you know, on a linear plane, you know. There's a big distinction. So it's worth noting.
Yeah, there's just a lot of minutia involved. And, you know, from the catcher's perspective, I think it's really fascinating too. You know, last year, John, I'll throw a stat at you and see if you could guess the number. So Jose Trevino tied for the major league lead in caught stealing percentage. It was 33.3%. So can you guess how many runners he threw out last year?
Was it 9?
It was 15. Yeah. 15 out of 45. So it's hard. It's hard to catch these. It was hard last year. I mean, that was, you know, the best in the majors was throwing, you know, 15 runners out of 45 attempts. And now this year, I mean, there's probably going to be more attempts. Those caught stealing percentages are assumably going to go down. And, did I just make up that word? Assumably,
you absolutely did. But until you pointed it out, I just loved the confidence that you did it, and I was going to let it go.
I'm assuming that those numbers are going to go down, and that it's going to be even harder to to throw out a third of runners.
But you know what a stolen base is? I'm really serious about this. A stolen base is action on the field, and if things are happening like that, it's just such a better game. And I'm not saying look. If things get out of hand and they need to shrink the bases a little more, like fine, like whatever. Like you can tweak one direction. You can also tweak back the other direction. But any change the sport right now can make that has action happening on the field instead of just players getting walked or struck out and walked and struck out and walked and struck out. Like give me a play that involves, you know, balls being thrown all around the bases any day.
Yeah, that's true.
So, okay. That was a fun
one.
And
we'll bring back Ricky Henderson, since, you know, he can probably still play. And I always think about the story I did on him a couple years ago. And you look at modern day stolen bases, you know, stolen base totals and attempts. And then you see what he did, even in the 3 years, 4 years he was with the Yankees. Just amazing. I mean, 100 stolen bases, like,
But think about it. If the best catcher, and some of this is, you know, related to itself. Some of it feeds off itself. So obviously not everyone is running on Jose Trevino because he's throwing some. I get it. It's the same thing.
Which says a lot for him as well.
Sure. No, but it's the same reason why Aaron Judge isn't going to lead the league in outfield assists because his arm is so good. You're not going to run on it. Like, I get that these things relate to each other, but if the best catcher in the league is letting stolen bases go at 67% of the time, you need to be stealing more bases. You need to be pushing the issue more to do that.
Point.
So,
it's a high percentage thing for sure. So, like an extra point in football.
Oh, God.
Except when the Dallas Cowboys are playing.
Wow. Okay. Yankees to receive Rookie of the Year votes. So go back through your head of the Yankees roster this year. Al, was there any Yankees player who received a Rookie of the Year vote? Not a first place vote, a vote.
Oswaldo Cabrera may have received a vote.
So the answer wasn't may. Are you saying yes or no for Oswaldo Cabrera?
Sure. Yes.
Oswaldo Cabrera. Okay. Nate, do you think any Yankees received Rookie of the Year votes?
I think those guys came up too late probably to garner votes. I don't know.
What about maybe some guys who didn't necessarily just get called up for the first time this year, but still had rookie eligibility? I think any of those guys might have gotten some attention.
Interesting.
I'm going to come right here and say Cabrera, Peraza, those guys did not.
They did not.
Cabrera came up in
August, right?
I was going to say beginning of August, right? Yeah.
So I think I recall my prediction last year, and
it wasn't great.
No, he sadly did not make it. Although I'm still holding out hope that Luis Gil can, you know, get healthy and show his stuff.
Because that was indeed your prediction.
Yeah, he's got good stuff. Mm-hmm. Somebody who not Clark Schmidt, right?
So Clark Schmidt was my guess.
Mm.
Neither one of them got Rookie of the Year votes. Mm. As I went, because I listened to it first, and then I was checking, and as I was listening, I knew that Luis Gil was not going to have gotten Rookie of the Year votes this year. But I heard my guess of Clark Schmidt, and I was like, I wonder if that could be. And it wasn't. He did not get any. But so no Yankees got Rookie of the Year votes this year. But I in retrospect, I liked my guess. But I will tell you a funny thing about my guess is you went first, and I said, and you know, you can go back and listen if you want. I said if I had gone first, my guess was going to be Luis Gil too. But I picked a different one because you did that. So anyway, we both said yes, and that puts you at 3-6 and me at 4-5. So, you know, not amazing, but could be worse.
Nope.
Al, I guess you are something like 8-2 at this point. Last question. Let's go out strong here. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Luis Severino. Over under starts. The number we set was 23.5. Al, do you think Luis Severino made 24 starts?
He did not make 24 starts. He missed too much time I think, was it June and July or after he got off to that great start to get to 24 starts. I think he made 20.
Nate, what do you think?
I'm going to agree with Al there. I don't think he made 24 starts, although he did finish quite strong.
So he made 19 starts.
Oh, so
pretty,
close.
Pretty solid effort there. Nate, what do you think you guessed before the season, though?
Who knows? Whatever it was, I'm sure it was way off.
Well, whatever it was,
maybe I said 40.
You did not say 40. You did, however, say over. So maybe you said 33, but over was wrong regardless. I said under. That puts me at 5-5 for preseason predictions. You know, you win some, lose some.
Way to go.
Nate, you finished 3-7. You win a couple, lose a lot.
I guess burritos are on me next time.
Sounds good.
But this is fun. And obviously, there are zero stakes here. It's just some good fun. But I find two things interesting about this. Number one is kind of some of the ways that we were wrong. One point. It is an optimistic group in a lot of ways. Sure. And I think I wonder how much that's just the nature of what we're doing, or if it's because we actually, you know, are as up on this team as we are that, you know, we hear all the good things right now being said about DJ LeMahieu's toe and how he didn't need surgery and that he's, you know, ready to go and all that stuff. And we see the, as we walk to go at lunch on a Wednesday afternoon, we see the people in baseball ops and they're smiling. So we figure there's good news or whatever. No, I'm not even joking. I'm serious. Yeah. And, you know, I wonder if asked that question today, if I set that number for DJ LeMahieu for 2023 at 130.5, I wonder what I would say. Yeah.
I agree with all that, John. And I would also say, I mean, look, the plan is for him to play 130 or more games. So you kind of have to look at it too, in the sense that barring something going wrong, he's going to play more than 130 games. So, you know, barring something, meaning that he's supposed to do that. So I think it's easy to be optimistic when you have players that make up a roster that are as talented as these guys are, meaning that you can say predictably on paper, this is what they project out to do based on what they've done in the past. So I think part of it is optimistic, but I also think it's realistic. But injuries happen at the same time, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the only thing I feel confident predicting is that unexpected things will happen. They do every year. So, yeah.
And that, so that's, I told you there were two things that I almost think it's funny as we go through this stuff. Again, some of the places we were so right, some of the places we were so wrong, but also, you know, I it's going to sound like I'm joking or that I'm poking fun. I'm not. How many of these things have just faded away from memory at this point? You know, how many, you know, stolen bases did Isaiah kind of for life? Sure. I have, like, who cares at the end of the day? And mm-hmm. I don't mean that negatively. I don't know. That's no indictment of the Yankees or of Kiner Falefa. You know, it's just at this point, what is it, 4 months after the season ended or whatever it is? Yeah, first off, I think, like a lot of Yankees fans, I'm more in 2023 mode than I am in 2022 mode. You know, and on all this stuff is on Baseball Reference and it's all in, you know, stocked in some video and some memory banks or whatever. But, you know, I hate to say it, and this is some, one of the things. To go back to Aaron Judge for a second, this is one of the things that I always bump against with him a little bit, just how black and white his view of the sport is. You know, you either win or you lose, and there's no in between. Because I don't necessarily feel that way. But when you look at a lot of these individual things, I don't know, to me, in some cases, a lot of that answer is 4-0 to the Astros. Who cares? In some ways, you know, that's a little bit too full stop there. And I don't mean that as harshly as it sounded, but a lot of this stuff is just minutia and trivia and nothing else, right?
I don't know if it is. I mean, I think we're not historians, you know, so we write about the team. We're editors of team publications. We work for the team. You know, I remember doing an interview once for one of our Art of Sport pieces with Bill Parcells, and he asked me some crazy question, not unlike all the ones you asked me today. And I didn't know the answer.
Of things that happened within the last 12 months.
No,
but go on.
I don't know. Maybe it might not have been the last 12 months. But, well, yes, lots of things have happened in the last 12 months. But I guess that's the point. So many things have happened that, you know, we're not encyclopedias. We're people, right? So you look them up. You have a sense of what players did, who was good, who performed well, who didn't perform well. The specific numbers really is, you know, does become insignificant details. But I think what's where I kind of differ from the Aaron Judge approach or the Derek Jeter approach of it only matters if you win the World Series. Like, that's all that matters. So that's not really what makes up a career. You know, like, that's not what defines a career, in fact. You know, Ted Williams didn't win a championship. He's one of the greatest baseball players, maybe the greatest hitter of all time. You know, his numbers, what he did, his overall body of work, I think, is what matters. When Isaiah Kiner-Falefa retires someday, whether he plays 5 more years, 3 more years, whatever it may be, I think people will look back, obviously not in the same historical sense as Ted Williams, but people look back and say, wow, he was a good baseball player for this amount of time. And within that is what he did last year, what he's going to do this year. So I actually do think it matters. Even though we can't remember the numbers, the specific numbers, I think it does matter.
Well, let me twist it just a little bit here. And first off, the Isaiah Kiner-Falefa story is in no way done being written with the Yankees as we speak, right?
Great.
Whatever. I mean, this is not going to be the knock on him that I think it might sound like. I do not mean it that way, at least. Let me put it that way. I think that when I said over for 21.5 stolen bases, my rationale behind saying over was I think Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is going to have a really good season. Hmm. I don't think Isaiah Kiner-Falefa had a really good season, right, but he went over. So what does that mean? And I think that's my question. And again, this is more of a, you know, it's late, it's 2:30 in the morning at a bar and we're a couple beers in and, you know, we're discussing the meaning of life and the meaning of baseball stats. I'm not sure that, you know, we need to, you know, bug our readers too much more with these philosophical, or our listeners, I should say, with these philosophical nonsense. But it does, as I said, like, just going through this stuff. And the reason I liked kind of having you go back and ask these questions of things that had already happened was to kind of go into some of that, just like, well, how much of this, like, actually gets embedded into the mind? How much of this actually, like, do you retain? How much of this matters in the sense? Because you know the story of the 2022 Yankee season. It's Aaron Judge's home runs. It's a lot of really awesome moments. It's an incredible first half, and it's a disappointing end. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, this is all fun stuff, and it's, I could tell you 2 months from now or a month and a half from now, whatever, when we do our predictions for the 2023 season, we're going to be just as optimistic. We're going to think it matters just as much. We're going to be just as invested in these numbers. And then, you know, 11 months after that happens, we're going to be like, eh, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't know. And Nate, I'll give you the final word here.
I think, you know, numbers are important. They're part of what makes baseball go round, you know, and it's without the numbers, it would be hard to have those arguments at the bar stool at 2:30 in the morning. And, you know, but some numbers are certainly more important than others. And we saw it in this episode in terms of, you know,
quick, how many home runs did Aaron Judge hit last
right,
year?
Right. You know, nobody's going to have trouble remembering 62. No. Whereas, you know, it took us a moment to come up with the 257 for Gerrit Cole. So, you know, there's plenty of impressive numbers to parse from last year, as I'm sure there will be this year. And it's going to be a lot of fun to dissect them as we go along.
It's actually going to be a lot of fun to dissect them. It's going to be really a lot of fun. And I will not be absent this year when we do our 2023 predictions.
You heard it here first, folks.
I will be there. And I can't wait now because I'm actually anxious. I'm thinking about it now. And I'm not going to show my cards too early, but I'm anxious.
I might
John.
Catch a cold that day.
Yeah, know. That's fine. But I'll be here. I'm excited to do this after kind of doing it in, you know, on
in
the
reverse.
Back end in reverse.
When you had all the answers.
When I had all the answers. I'm actually
you
anxious.
Don't want to do the open book version. Yeah,
this is a test that I'm going to study for. And I'm going to be really anxious to take. And I'm really, honestly, I'm not going to show my cards. I'm anxious.
How can you show your cards? You haven't heard what the questions
are. Well, I am going to ask you to, you know, I don't think this is going to be a big ask, John, but I want there to be one question, which is Aaron Judge's home run total. That has to be a question, doesn't it? And yes. I can't wait to answer that.
Over under 62.
I can't wait to answer that. So I'll leave it at that, but I'm looking forward to that question and thinking about that and coming up with a prediction there. So.
Well, or I should say, Nate, I did promise you the last word. You gave a great one. Al came in from the top rope here. do you want to finish it before we head out?
I predict Anthony Rizzo will hit exactly 32 home runs this year.
Wow. Wow. Again. Okay. So there it is. Nate, Al. This has been fun as always. It was really, I liked going back on this. It kind of, like I said, we're so in 2023 mode right now that getting back to 2022 for a little while, some of that stuff feels like a really long time ago and it just wasn't that long ago, but it does make me excited for new interesting baseball feats to be happening just a couple months with or without a pitcher's mound. We'll keep you updated on if we get a pitcher's mound at any point, but that's it for this one, guys. Good talking.
Absolutely.
We'll do it again in 2 weeks.
Let's do it. And to all of you, thank you as always for listening to another episode of the Yankees Magazine Podcast. If you're not already subscribed, I hope you'll change that right now by going to yankees.com/podcast and choosing to listen to any recent episode or subscribe. You can also obviously do that at the podcast app of your choice. Also, of course, while you're subscribing to podcasts, you should also be subscribing to print magazines. It is 2023 after all. So go to yankees.com/publications where you can purchase back issues or subscribe to Yankees Magazine. It's going to be an amazing year here in the Bronx, and the Yankees Magazine is the best way to stay on top of it. Certainly read all of our content online at yankees.com/magazine. And of course, follow us on Twitter at Yanks Magazine and like us on Facebook at Yankees Magazine. That's it for today. Look forward to speaking to you next time. Have a great one and go Yanks.
Hey, this is Giancarlo Stan. If you like what you're hearing, why don't you rate and review us? And while you're at it, tell your friends to subscribe. Thanks so much and go Yankees.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.